Buddha, Shin Dharma, Shin Sangha. The kind of impetus, or what's more technically called the habit energy of karma, and in fact the whole way in which karma is made and perpetuated is often represented in Buddhism with the metaphor of the wheel. And it's interesting that the way in which the Dharma is practiced and perpetuated is also used, is also represented by a metaphor of a wheel. There's the rolling wheel of karma and there's the rolling wheel of the law, the turning wheel of the law. And you know, these things are basically the same thing in two different aspects. So I want to just talk about that just for a moment. There's some basic principles to this rolling of both wheels. And the first principle is that you can't stop the rolling. You can change its direction, the direction in which the wheel is going, but you can't stop its rolling. In other words, there's no karma-free human existence. A human being does not have the option, well, I'm opting out of karma altogether, the law of karma. It's like saying I'm opting out of the law of gravity. I'll opt all you want, but step off that cliff and there's going to be consequences. Law of karma functions like that. So, you can't stop it. You can only change direction. Rule number two, or principle number two, it never turns backwards. That is to say, you can't take what has happened and somehow undo it. It only moves forward in some direction. It only moves forward in some direction and it can't be stopped. So we have to keep those things in mind. Because this really reveals, these two principles reveal the nature of choice. And you really see again why her master, in her wonderfully pragmatic way, and Zen, and I have to say, rightly taught Buddhism, this wonderfully pragmatic way, just puts very simply, you know, the limits within which you can work and really encourages you to do really the best you can within those limits. You know, accept the limits and then do the best you can within them. Let's think for a moment about, hatred. Let's take hatred. Hatred's a good one. That right now you just have to look at the news, turn on the television, watch the news a bit, whatever it is. There's just rampant hatred, it seems like. Well, there's always some going on, but there seems to be an awful lot of it at the moment, and the way things are going, there's going to be a lot more of it for a while. Let's think about hatred for a moment. Suppose someone does something to me out of hatred. Now, what is the nature of my choice? Well, I could choose to let another person's action cause me to hate. That's one choice. And that choice is commonly made, especially if someone does something to me that I perceive as hurting me. You know, it's not too hard to perceive as hurting you if in fact you hurt. You know, someone deprives you of something you love, someone causes you pain, then you hurt. Well, if we were to be able to slow everything down at the point of this, let's say some event where this kind of thing has happened, and just put everything into super slow motion. And this is why we meditate, by the way. Meditation does put everything, slow everything way down so you can see the nature of your choices, what they really mean, and not just react out of emotion, out of emotional impulse. Yeah, not just react out of emotional impulse. Slow everything down. Well, first of all, I'm not going to just be able to stop everything here, and there's going to be no future, basically. The wheel's going to keep rolling in one direction or another. Another thing is I'm not going to be able to undo what has happened. It only goes forward, it doesn't go back. And if you think about it, an awful lot of punishment and vengeance is based on some kind of peculiar delusion that you can actually somehow undo something. Make something in the past somehow different, make it right, people say, you know, kind of thing. You can't. It was what it was. We have to live with the consequences. You can't undo it in the least. The past is the past. You can't change the past. So what is the nature of my choice? Well, the nature of my choice is, given what I've got in this present moment, what direction is it going to go from here? What direction is it going to go from here? Am I going to go in a direction of despair? Am I going to go in the direction of myself hating? Am I going to go in the direction of fear? Am I going to go in a direction of letting it go, offering it up? Am I going to go in a direction of sympathy and compassion and understanding? Third principle. Whether we know it or not, there's always this kind of choice in every situation. For us personally, there's always, for each of us personally, there is this kind of choice. We really can choose the direction it's going to roll in. Especially with regard to spiritual things. Spiritual direction. And this brings us to the fourth principle, which is something really I continually find amazing. I've said so many times, I talk about it all the time, Rim Master talked about it all the time, but it is the great mystery, the mystery of conversion, really. How the heck this happens, and yet it does. That very wheel of karma Let's just take, you know, hatred's a good example because we can all see the examples in the world around us and we can really see them in ourselves at times of how hatred breeds hatred. And yet, hatred doesn't have to breed hatred. It's within my power and within your power to be someone who is hated by someone else temporarily, it's always just temporary, and who doesn't hate in return. Well, what's happening then? The direction is of the wheels being changed. Something that could have been a transmission of hatred is becoming hatred converting to something else. To compassion, perhaps. This can happen within one person, someone who's got an anger koan, spiritual problem with anger, and who works on it, and it gradually converts to compassion. And it can be something passed from people to other people, you know, where someone else dumps their anger on you, and instead of trying to return it, remember, you can't really return it. What you'll do, you'll pass it on. You can't return it. Language is misleading there. You return hatred for hatred. In a way, and the idea, the word return there gives you a kind of sense that somehow you point it back. But it's always pointed forward. Time just goes forward. It didn't go back. Do you see what I'm saying? Think of Uji. Think of no self. You try to turn it back. It's an idea of a self to be turned back onto. And in fact, it's only going forward. Onto new moments, new experience. And yet it is within our power to divert it in another direction, to move it in another direction, to help it move in another direction. And then to take that, therefore, that raw energy that was in that hatred, and have it become the energy that is in compassion. The raw hatred that was in greed, and have it be the energy that is in generosity. The raw hatred, the raw energy that is in delusion, and have it become the energy that is in wisdom. It's the same basic stuff, it's just that it's Buddha nature is able to reveal itself. The Buddha nature of anger and hatred is seen in compassion and sympathy. The Buddha nature of greed and grasping and clinging is seen in generosity and great-heartedness. The Buddha nature of delusion and confusion is seen in wisdom and humility, the certainty of the immaculacy of nothingness. Since there is nothing from the first, where can the dust alight? For those who are, I don't usually say this, but today I'm going to say it for some reason. But, you know, particularly for those people who are listening to me in this room or in the internet who are my disciples, this teaching I'm giving today is especially for you. Especially for, you know, my monastic disciples and my lay disciples. Don't, out of confusion or despondency or fatigue, don't give up your inner certainty of your own capacity to turn the wheel in the right direction in any circumstances in which you find yourself. Don't abandon your meditation. Meditation is the key to doing this. When there's a lot of what I sometimes think of as kind of karmic zinginess in the air, so to speak, and we're all kind of, you might say, the kind of receivers that both receivers and transmitters of the karmic stuff, and when there's a lot of zinginess and we're receiving it and it's very easy to give it off as well. It's very easy to amplify the zinginess. And as it gets amplified, it becomes more and more despairing, desperate. Desperate. And we get more and more kind of thrashing around, less and less grounded in our meditation, less and less mindful. If we allow things to slide in that direction, you know, we lose sight of our own inherent spiritual freedom to make these choices regardless of what the external circumstances are. And we focus on the external circumstances and get lost in a morass of good and evil, like and dislike. And the way out of the morass is to turn within, be still, and really listen to our own heart. And one step at a time in the right direction. What is the right direction? The perceptual direction. The direction of compassion, love, and wisdom. How do we discern? Your master used to say over and over again in 76, he'd say, and in 77, just long for the Lord of the house. I'm going to ask her something. Just long for the Lord of the house. And that's how you discern, really. Stop, turn within. Listen to your heart. It will show you one step, just one step in the right direction. That is enough. Don't ask for more than that. A lot of one single step in the right direction gives a very strong rolling of the wheel of law. And when we look upon the suffering and confusion and violence of the world, this is so hard to do, and I speak from experience. It's sometimes it really weighs on my heart, but I have to work not to let it weigh on my heart. You know, the degree of confusion and desperation and the degree of human suffering, the magnitude of human suffering. When you look upon it, we need to look upon it with the eyes of meditation and see that rolling wheel of karma as the potential for the rolling wheel of the law. Don't think that people caught in terrible circumstances don't make choices. Don't think they can't make choices that are sound spiritual choices just because the circumstances are so difficult. Over and over again throughout human history, people have proven that just the opposite is true. That in the midst of hell itself, over and over again, many people, make spiritually really sound and wonderful choices, and it changes the course of karma for them and provides a good influence on all those who are connected with them. So we must not allow desperation to cause us to despair. And for each of us individually, we have the power to choose in all circumstances which way that wheel is going to roll. The last point I want to make is just to reemphasize that we can do this if we keep our focus on our own training. And do not try to do the training of others for them. There's just inherent limits here that we have to respect. You cannot make the people who are hating stop hating. We can do something about our own hatred, however. We cannot make those who are grasping stop grasping. We can do something about our own grasping. We cannot undelude all those who are deluded. We can do something about our own delusion. When we do that, the merits of that are far greater than we could imagine. And we can just trust the Eternal is going to make very good use of that, especially over the long term. Never underestimate the merit of a single moment of true meditation, of a single moment of living from the heart. Never underestimate it, devalue it. Enlightened action doesn't leave a wake. You don't see spectacular results. What leaves the wake is all the thrashing around in despair. So we have to look with our heart, not just with our external senses, not just with our eyes, listen not just with our ears, but look with the eyes of the heart, listen with the ears of the heart. Dogen said, if you can find Buddha within the Buddha within birth and death, they both vanish. They both vanish means they're no longer all there is to it. If we find the Buddha within birth and death, then there is the Buddha, the eternal, the unborn. And birth and death are just the superficial appearance, the reflections coming and going in the mirror. Buddha.